So today we are continuing reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, entitled The Status Quo, Chapter 2, entitled Remembrance of Lord Krishna, text number 13. Prayuktam Bhoja Rajena. Who could assume any form they liked? Leelaya, in the course of the pastimes. Vyanudat, killed. Tan, them. Tan, as they came there. Balaha, the child. Kridanakan, dolls. Eva, like that. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki translation. The great wizards who were able to assume any form were engaged by the king of Bhoja, Kamsa, to kill Krishna. But in the course of his pastimes, the Lord killed them as easily as a child breaks dolls. Translation, please repeat. The great wizards who were able to assume any form were engaged by the king of Bhoja, Kamsa, to kill Krishna. But in the course of his pastimes, the Lord killed them as easily as a child breaks dolls. Purport. The atheist Kamsa wanted to kill Krishna just after his birth. He failed to do so. But later on, he got information that Krishna was living in Vrindavan at the home of Nanda Maharaj. He therefore engaged many wizards who could perform wonderful acts and assume any form they liked. All of them appeared before the child Lord in various forms like Agha, Baka, Putna, Shakata, Trinavarta, Dhenuka and Gardava. And they tried to kill the Lord at every opportunity. But one after another, all of them were killed by the Lord, as if he were only playing with dolls. Children play with toy lions, elephants, boars and many similar dolls, which are broken by the children in the course of their playing with them. Before the Almighty Lord, any powerful living being is just like a toy lion in the hands of a playing child. No one can excel God in any capacity, and therefore no one can be equal to or greater than Him. Nor can anyone attain the stage of equality with God by any kind of endeavor. Jnana, Yoga and Bhakti are three recognized processes of spiritual realization. The perfection of such processes can lead one to the desired goal of life in spiritual value. But that does not mean that one can attain a perfection equal to the Lord's by such endeavors. The Lord is the Lord at every stage. When He was playing just like a child on the lap of His mother Yashoda Mai, or just like a cowherd boy with His transcendental friends, He continued to remain God without the slightest diminution of His six opulences. Thus, He is always unrivaled. ग्रंथस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरु वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्ता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विश्वानंद सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो वी बिगिन टुडे अनदर सेशन अनदर मीटिंग। Every morning we meet here at 7:30 and we discuss something very important. So we see in various offices and other places people meet with each other and they have various agendas. So what is the agenda of our meeting here every day without fail? So the agenda is that we want to solve the problems of life. So usually when people meet, they have some issues, they try to resolve those issues, they try to find solutions to the problems. But here in Srimad Bhagavatam class, we try to discuss the greatest problems of life. Not any small problems, but the greatest problems. So the four greatest problems of life are Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi, Dukkha Dosha Anudarshanam. So the greatest miseries. Birth, death, old age and disease. So here actually we are trying to discuss how to stop birth, how to stop death, how to stop disease and how to stop old age. So if we think about it, it's very amazing. It's nothing small or nothing insignificant. This is the most significant thing. So common people cannot imagine that we can actually stop birth or stop death. Actually, we all are immortal beings and all these four problems are superfluous. We don't have to do anything with it. Soul doesn't have to do anything with birth. Soul is never born, never dies, never gets old. It's ever fresh. There's no disease to the soul. So actually these problems don't belong to us. But because of our misidentification with the body, we think these are our problems. So that famous example of a man who is embracing with a tight grip, he embraces a thorny tree and he is in pain. And someone says, just leave the tree, let it go. He said, no, I'm suffering, help, help. So he has actually embrace the problems. So similarly, we have actually embraced this material world, and material world doesn't come only with happiness. In the same package we receive these problems as well. So here in Srimad Bhagavatam class, every day we discuss how to solve these problems. We are on the journey towards this stage where there are no problems. So while we are on the way, these problems will still come, but they will reduce in intensity as we advance, not as time goes by. So this is very important to understand. We shouldn't think that as time goes by and as I stay in this devotee association, these problems will be solved. That is true only if we apply to bhakti process properly. Then it is true that with time we'll solve these problems. But if we don't apply properly, then those problems won't be solved. We'll keep coming back in this cycle of birth and death. As it is said, in the morning we recite, Bahu janma kare yadi shravan kirtan tabu tan paaye Krishna pade prematam. So bahu janma, many many births we can be with devotees, we can keep doing shravan kirtan, keep attending classes every day. But if we are doing offenses, then we cannot get out of the cycle of birth and death. So that's very important to understand, that as time goes by, we may not solve these problems. So better now take guidance from seniors to understand what are the offenses that we are making, what are the things we are not doing correctly. So here Srimad Bhagavatam actually gives us exactly what we need in life. So if we take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam with that mood, then there is hope. And Maya is always there. It's going to test us. Prabhupada writes in one of his books that as time goes by and we may think we have become little advanced, we know how to perform Shravan and Kirtan, and when we think now we are established as a devotee, everyone knows us, everyone says, oh, go to him for guidance, him or her, and we may think we are advanced, but Prabhupada says, if you think you are advanced and you stop hearing and chanting, it is just like you're not pouring water on the bhakti creeper, so it will dry up. So Prabhupada says we have to continue hearing and chanting, and then the growth of the creeper cannot be stopped. So that's very important. If we persist, if we refuse to stop hearing and chanting, then there is hope, because the Maya will put many obstacles on our path, and obstacles will become bigger and bigger. So when someone goes for a high jump, you know, they put the bar up and up, they keep raising it. So same way Maya does that with us. So Pandavas went through so much difficulty. Haridas Thakur and so many other devotees, they went through so much, Prahlad Maharaj. But they were fully fixed in their devotion, and then nothing could stop them. So this persistency is very important, that if we think that we have to do hearing and chanting, we have to attend Bhagavatam class, or if we cannot, we can hear online or an MP3 player. If we persist, then Maya will help us actually to go ahead. And some days, you know, we may think that I don't feel like hearing today and chanting. Actually, that's the day we need to do hearing and chanting the most, because we are covered with Maya. So the day this thought comes that today I don't feel like going to class, that day we should definitely come. So Maya will test us every day. So our heart is filled with various anarthas. And if we continue hearing, those anarthas will go away. We have to analyze our situation and see that actually we are spirit souls. And what is the function of a spirit soul? The function of a spirit soul is to serve the Supreme Spirit. And by hearing and chanting, we can serve the Supreme Spirit in the best way. So here in these verses we see this explanation is given about Krishna's pastimes. And in today's verse we see that how Kamsa used to send different demons to kill Krishna in Vrindavan. So we may think, okay, this is a nice story, those demons came 5,000 years back and Krishna killed them just like dolls. So we like to hear those pastimes sometimes, so that's okay. But what is its application in our life? So are those demons gone away and we don't have to do with them anymore? Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Chaitanya Shikshamrita, he says that the anarthas that we have are like those demons. So the news for us is that those demons are still present and they are very close actually, they are within our heart to various degrees. And how will we kill them? We cannot kill them, they are so big, Aghasur, Bakasur, they are like massive demons. Only Krishna can kill them. So when we hear Krishna's pastimes, when we chant the holy name, then Krishna is present there and he personally kills them. So I thought I will just discuss a little bit in detail what these anarthas are and what these demons represent. So there is 7 demons mentioned in today's purport. So we'll just discuss those in brief. And in his list, Bhaktivinoda Thakur discusses more than 20, I think. And not all are demons. Sometimes devotees also act in a demoniac way, like when Lord Brahma stole the calves and cowherd boys, and when Indra sent Samvartaka clouds and heavy rain. So they acted demoniacally, in a demoniac way. So what does Putna represent? Putna represents the pseudo-guru. So we may think we have bona fide gurus if we are initiated, or Prabhupada is our guru, bona fide guru. But he says that it can be either a person or one's own conditioned mind can be that pseudo-guru. Sometimes we follow our mind, right? Or most of the time. So we take mind as guru. Oh, yes, whatever you say is true, I'll follow that. Guru means one who instructs his disciple. So we can become disciple of our mind. That our mind says, I feel good if you do this. And if we do that, then we can be trapped. So that's Putna represents that. The thought will come in a very nice way, like Putna was disguised. So these demons used to change shapes. Kam Rupinaha. They could assume any form. So that's why when these thoughts come in our mind, everything would be justified by those thoughts. See, this looks correct in your situation. We can see with Arjun how he was actually he was referring to various shastra, dharma shastra, artha shastra, and he was saying we shouldn't fight, see this will happen, we will incur sin and so on. So this is mental platform. It just comes in a disguised way. So that's Putra. So the next demon is Shakatasur. So this is in chronological order. Yeah, then Shakatasur is the cart demon. The tendency to carry the cartload of bad habits accumulated in this life and previous lives. We have many bad habits and these habits become like a nature and we are pulled by these bad habits to do something which is wrong. And he also represents lethargy and dullness. Sometimes we are just lethargic. We procrastinate our spiritual progress. we refuse to come to mode of goodness. But we know that mode of goodness is it's like a springboard for mode of pure goodness. Mode of goodness in itself is not sufficient. Like, for example, waking up early in the morning is in mode of goodness. So if someone is in mode of goodness, he may wake up early. But then what will he do? If he goes to work, just his normal karmi work, if he's not a devotee, then that mode of goodness is not enough. Someone may just wake up and go for a morning walk in gardens. Then that's not enough. So we wake up early in the morning in Brahma Murta, and then perform devotional activities. We chant, we come for Mangalarti, we take darshan. So that, then it is conducive for spiritual progress. So that is Shaktasura. Then next one is Trinavarta, the whirlwind demon. He represents the false pride arising from material scholarship, which gives rise to bogus philosophies. So when we get these various degrees, we study in universities, colleges, then there is a pride which comes along with it. Because you get recognition, you have so many degrees under your name, so that means what you say is correct. So these bogus philosophies can be born. So Prabhupada used to say that these scientists these days, they say that all the stars that we see, they are suns. But Prabhupada said, Vedic literature doesn't agree with that. We only have one sun in each universe. There are many suns in the sense there are many universes. And in each universe we have one sun. So this is a bogus philosophy that all the stars are suns. Because is a big scientist, so he gives these various speculations. So, but if we refer to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, we can understand that is our philosophy bogus or genuine. So that is Trinavarta demon. So we can see when we understand what anarthas these demons represent, we can see how these traces are present within our heart. And when we hear these pastimes of these demons and how Krishna kills these demons, our anarthas go away slowly. So that's why it's said Nityam Bhagavad Sevya. Every day when we hear, these demons will be killed within our heart. Then Bakasur, or the stalk demon, he represents cunning, duplicity, deceptiveness and false types of behavior. Aghasur represents cruelty and violence. And Dhenukasur represents gross materialistic intelligence, ignorance of spiritual knowledge. And there's another demon mentioned here, Gardabhasur. He was another ass demon in that Talavan forest when Krishna and Balram went there. They killed all the ass demons there. And it's mentioned in Nectar of Devotion when Krishna came back after killing Gardabhasur and other ass demons from Talavan, and all the boys told Yashoda Mai that we went there, we asked Krishna, please come with us, we want to go in that forest and eat those tala fruits, because sweet smell was coming from that forest and they wanted to please Krishna by offering him those fruits. So they told Krishna, please come with us in that Talavan forest. And then Krishna killed those demons. But when Mother Yashoda heard about this, she got very angry and she looked at those cowherd boys with furious eyes, because she thought that they took Krishna in a dangerous situation. Why did they do that? So she was very angry. Because she has so much love for Krishna, she forgets that he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no danger for him. He just killed those demons just like dolls. You know, Balram swirled Dhenukasura and Krishna swirled many demons and they threw them on top of palm trees or tala, those trees. So that is Krishna. So these demons represent anarthas in our heart. And when we hear Krishna's glories and when we hear holy name, then Krishna comes in our heart and he cleanses these impurities. Shrinvatam svakatha Krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyantasto yabhadrani vidunoti suhrit satam. So those devotees who have developed this urge to hear these messages of Krishna, for them these impurities will be cleaned, they will be purged, they will be cleansed and kicked out by Krishna himself. Because as jivas, we don't have a position to cleanse those impurities. We cannot do it. Because those impurities are representation of Maya within our heart. And our position is very tiny. Maya is so massive. So 1/4 of the whole creation. So tiny jiva cannot cleanse those impurities. Only Krishna can. And when we dovetail our activities in Krishna consciousness, then Krishna helps us. So by following this process, by meeting every day with devotees and discussing Krishna Katha, we'll get rid of all the dualities. Both aspects of the duality are bad. Summer, winter, heat, cold, joy, distress, both are bad. Because they are material. They are two aspects of the same coin, two sides of the same coin. So either if we are materially happy or materially distressed, both are not desirable. So that's why we have to understand that how to get rid of these dualities by process of bhakti. In second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Rag dvesh vimuktaistu vishyan indriyaischaran atma sher videy atma prasadam adigachati. So there he says, how can you get prasadam, the real mercy, complete mercy of Krishna? So that is by accepting these regulative principles of freedom. So usually we think that these regulative principles restrict us. Especially in the West or even in India now, somehow or other three regulative principles are okay, but the fourth one is the biggest hurdle, especially in the West. But by embracing these regulative principles, we'll be actually free. We are actually entrapped. This whole world is called Maithuna Agar. There are shackles of sex life. We are trapped. But if we embrace these regulative principles, we'll become free. So this lust in our heart, it just binds us so tightly. And it comes in various degrees and various forms. Of course, the gross lust and then the subtle aspects of adoration, fame and distinction. They are also lust. We want to be distinct from others. Because we want to prove that we are the best. And then we want to control. If we are the best, then everyone should listen to us. So that's also lust, another form of lust. It's a very subtle form of lust. Gross form is still, I was saying that it's very difficult in the West, but still that even if that is controlled, the gross activities, still that subtle aspects, those subtle aspects are still there within our heart. Very hard to remove. Pratishtha, we want some pratishtha, some position. So that's hardest. Even if someone is a great renunciate, oh, this is a great sadhu, great renunciate, he has left all worldly things. So he wants to be known as a great renunciate. So that pratishtha, that fame, that impurity is still there. We see one time I was in India many years back, and we saw in news that every 12 years or something, they have these Kumbh Melas in Allahabad. There's a confluence of three rivers, Ganga, Yamuna and Saraswati. Saraswati is also, of course, now hidden. So there, many saints come to take bath in the confluence. So one time I saw in the news that these Naga Babas, these naked saints who come from the Himalayas, so they got very offended because they were not given first chance to take the dip in that confluence. So they had that pride. Because they were doing great austerity, what others couldn't do. They were living without clothes in Himalayas and performing meditation. They had many mystic powers. They had so much. We cannot even dream about it. We find it hard to wake up in the morning. And they are living in Melbourne. We think Melbourne is cold. But some of these yogis, they live in Himalayas, in ice, without Kathmandu clothing. But the subtle form of lust is still there. So they had this pride that we are the Naga Babas, we should get first preference. So that's very hard. Only by bhakti, these subtle traces also go away. As Mahaprabhu exhibited in his Gundicha Marjan pastimes, he cleansed the Gundicha temple two times. First time, all the dirt which was obvious, which was in front, they cleaned it. And then in second time, they cleansed even that dirt which was present in the grooves, crevices, and which was not clearly visible. So these subtle impurities are not visible clearly. But by bhakti process, we can cleanse that. Krishna will cleanse that. We cannot. So we have to allow Krishna to cleanse it. So we have to cooperate with Krishna. Sometimes we may not want these impurities to go away. I remember when I got association of devotees and I started to come to temple. So some of my roommates, other materialist roommates, they were saying, why are you going to temple so much? They are brainwashing you. I said, yeah, washing is good. We are getting cleansed. So that's good, isn't it? Our brain is filled with dirt, so they are cleansing it. He said, no, some dirt should remain. One of them said, some impurities should remain. So we may also think like that we don't want to become fully pure. Some Krishna consciousness is good, and I'm dressed like a devotee, but some impurity is okay. So we may laugh on what I just said, but it may be somewhere within us also, within me also. So if we hear these pastimes of Krishna, everything will be smashed to dust. All these big impurities, big, big demons within our heart. And Arjun actually says that we shouldn't think that we are the doers. We can do anything. Because when Krishna left, he was also in ecstasy, just like Uddhava. Uddhava is speaking all these verses here and he is in full ecstasy, he is in remembrance of Krishna. And same way Arjun was in remembrance of Krishna. So he said, see, everything has become null and void in Krishna's absence. I have the same Gandiva bow, I have the same arrows, I have the same chariot driven by same horses, and I am the same Arjun. But I have no power because Krishna has left. So if we feel that we don't have any power in our devotional life, that means that Krishna is missing in our endeavors. So in each activity, every day we should think, am I pleasing Krishna with this activity? Am I pleasing devotees? Am I pleasing my authorities? We may have some skills, but those skills are not enough. We have to apply those skills under the guidance of authorities. Then we are connected. In Mahabharata, one time Karna wanted to fight in a duel with Arjun. And Arjun said, but I am a king, I only fight with kings. What's your position? So he had no position at that time. Although he was born by the same mother, but he was not connected anywhere. He was associating with Duryodhan and he wasn't a king of any country. So he refused to fight that. I only fight with equals. You don't have any position. So I won't fight with you. Although he was maybe little more skillful than Arjun. But he wasn't connected. He didn't have a position. So Duryodhan said, okay. He called some brahmanas and they did some ceremony. And he said, now he is the king of Angadesh. Now he is a king. Now you can fight. So then they... Then he agreed. So we may have some material skills, we may have some spiritual skills. We may be able to, you know, do nice reading, nice chanting, nice kirtans. But if we are not connected to the authorities and our guru, then there is we cannot be recognized by Krishna. Without this connection to the parampara, then everything we do is failure. So we have to understand that Krishna is the supreme and he is unrivaled. There is no one equal to him, no one greater than him. And that's why he is called Asamardhva. Sama means equal. Asama means there is no equal to him. And Urdhva, no one higher than him. So if we take shelter of Krishna, then our endeavors also will be like that. They will be always successful. The women of Mathura actually one time said that they were actually glorifying gopis and they said what austerities they have performed that they are able to see this form of Krishna. And they also mentioned that Krishna's form is unrivaled. There is nothing equal to him, his form, and nothing greater than his form. Lavanya Saram Asamordvam Ananya Siddhim. So Krishna's form is Lavanya Saram, or it's the essence of all loveliness. And it's Asamordvam, it's unparalleled and unsurpassed. There is no parallel and no one can surpass it. And it's Ananya Siddham. It is not perfected by any other ornament. Actually, Krishna beautifies the ornaments and garlands and other paraphernalia that he adorns. So if we hear these glories of Krishna, if we see this form of Krishna, if we chant his name, then all these demons within our heart can be defeated very easily, just like playthings. It's not difficult for Krishna. We cannot say that I am in so much maya, this lifetime I cannot get purified. That means we are putting a limitation on Krishna. That Krishna cannot cleanse our impurities, they are so big, that we are putting limitation on Krishna. For Krishna, these impurities are nothing. A toy lion. It may be a lion, but it's just a toy. For Krishna, it's a toy. So our impurities may seem to be very big, and they may roar like a lion in our heart. But if we fully surrender to Krishna, then Krishna will deal with it. That verse of famous verse of Bhagavad Gita in the end, as a conclusion, it is said, Sardharman Paritajya Maam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. So there devotees have explained that Vraja is Vraja Bhumi or Vrindavan. It's not a geographical location. Vraja or Vrindavan is there and Krishna is present there where that surrender takes place. Sardharman Paritajya Maam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. So wherever we are in the world and wherever we take and whenever we take shelter of Krishna, we surrender to Krishna, Vrindavan is present there. And if we may go to the geographical location Vrindavan or Vraja, And if we don't surrender to Krishna, then it's hidden. It's not present there. So that's why it is said we cannot buy a ticket to Vrindavan. So wherever we take shelter of Krishna, wherever we surrender to Krishna, Krishna is present and his dham, Braja Bhumi, is present. So we must take shelter of Krishna in order to defeat and destroy these demons within our heart. So I'll end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed. Gayatri mantra which keeps coming.
Yeah, it's like this Gayatri mantra here is tenth before she keeps joining this call. And is there any chance Hare Krishna this mantra keeps on coming up in his mind?
That's okay, it will go away slowly. So we can continue chanting Hare Krishna.